Hello, everyone.
How are y'all today? We are going to continue our Thoughts 2.0 work by going on to what we call the week two lesson. So we are going to be talking about, sorry, my hair is kind of jacked. While you guys are coming in, I just kind of want to give you a little brief overview of what happened last week. And just kind of talk about a couple things. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the second way that you can change thoughts. So there are three ways, and inside of your Thoughts 2.0 resource guide, we talk all about it. So make sure that you've gone to nobswomen.com, that you've logged in, that you have downloaded the resource guide, because that's going to be really helpful for you. And then you can follow along with us all month long. And don't forget to, if you guys are brand new to NoBS, so we have people, you know, who are relatively new, and you're like, what is this? We haven't even done thought work in NoBS. You do not need to be at these calls. These are optional. Please stay if you think you'll get value out of them. I'm going to tell you, every call will give you value. Even if you're listening to this call and you are not on module two yet of NoBS, it's okay. We don't ever, in these calls, very often what we do is we talk about things in a way that no matter where you're at in the program, that you're going to get some learning and understanding from it. So you don't always have to feel like, well, if I haven't done this, I can't do that. Now, I do advise that if you haven't done something, that you don't layer in extras and ignore the basics. The basics is the whole NoBS weight loss core program. That's four modules that we have built out to make sure that you have everything you need at a basic foundational level to lose your weight. So what we're doing today is for the month of June, we are focusing in on the thought module, which is module two. And we are covering three different ways that you can change your thinking. So I want us all to think about the way that I teach you in module two, which is we're going to figure out what thoughts we're thinking on a regular basis. The thoughts that we think on a regular basis all come from our habit brain. This is just our default programming, default thinking that we've been raised with, that we've been told over the course of our lifetime. It's stuff we've taken in from social media, television, stories, those kinds of things. And our default thinking is also a lot of the thinking that we came to the conclusion when we were younger. So much of what we walk around and think today, like how things should work, what people should and shouldn't say, all kinds of things like that, the rules that we have around the world, they were all formulated with our 10 to 12 year old brain. So as our brain was sitting around looking at the world, trying to figure out stuff, it was coming to conclusions based on what it witnessed, what it was told, and what experience at 10 to 12 years old we had in order to formulate an opinion. And the reason why I'm saying this is because as you work on your thinking, one of the things that happens is we're just not taught as a society to think about our thinking. I know this sounds crazy, but it is still relatively new in the world for people to actually decide how to think proactively, to decide how to think, because it would be more beneficial than the current way that they're thinking, to really strategically align their thinking with where they want to go in life. Most of us, what we're taught is like, well, they hurt your feelings. You know, like people like blame so-and-so. If this wasn't happening, I bet you wouldn't feel that way. We're never taught that we get to perceive the world the way we want in a way that's advantageous for us. We're taught, hey, we got to sit back and people please, and you need to act this way if you want them to love you. We're literally taught that. So I say all this because it's very important for you that when you start listening to your thinking, that you don't get angry at it, that you don't get overwhelmed by it, that you don't hate on it, that you don't sit around and think you're broken because of it, or that something's wrong because of the way you think. You are a product of the world. That's it. There's no more blame. None of that's going to get you anywhere. What I watch people do when it comes to their thinking is they make statements like, when I start listening, like, it hurts. You know, it's really hard, Corinne. It's very painful. No, it's not. And let me tell you why. No thought is going to jam you up until you have a thought about the thought. Your hurt, your pain, your embarrassment, your shame, your brokenness, whatever it is that you're feeling about when you start listening to all of your thoughts, all that feeling is coming from a thought about listening to your thoughts. Those thoughts in and of themselves do not feel bad until you either judge them or you believe them. That's how it works. I wish I had a way to show you guys this. Let me see if I have a marker. Because I've got a flip chart over here, but it's on the last page. And the poor whiteboard needs a good cleaning. So I want you to think about, this is going to be your head. Let me give you a body so that you know it's you. All right. So here you are. We all have a huge head for some reason. And you're listening to all of these thoughts. So I want you to imagine that in this thought bubble is the 60,000 thoughts that you have a day. They're just running. 57,000 of them, you're probably never going to hear. 3,000 of them, you will. And at least 50% of the 3,000 are like designed by nature for them not to be positive. They're designed by nature for your habit brain to throw up about half of those 3,000 thoughts a day. So 1,500 thoughts a day should sound skeptical, negative, not so great, blah, 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 blah. And your brain does this on purpose so that you're not running around in the street and risking your life and doing stuff. The job of your brain is to be the ultimate skeptic for you, to doubt things and stuff so that it can avoid danger. The problem is that it worked very well when danger was actually physical danger, like poison berries and like animals and things like that. And our brain doesn't know that we don't have physical danger anymore. So it creates the same feelings, the same fears, and the same physical responses to what we call the faux dangers now. Like, you know, well, if I feel that feeling, it'll kill me. I mean, how many of you have said things like, you know, if I start feeling my feelings, I'll never get out of them. And it will just like, you know, I'll never be able to function ever again. We say things like that as if feeling overwhelmed, anxious, panicky, or whatever is a life-ending thing. But we'll talk about it that way. It ain't like a butcher knife is coming after us. And so we have to like really realize that it's just normal for our brain to be creating false danger and false impending doom around our thinking, because it does not have life-threatening things to do that for all the time now. The majority of us, if you are probably able to pay $59 a month to be a member of No BS, are going to walk outside the door of your house and not worry about wild animals eating you alive. The majority of you have running water, I would imagine. If you're able to pay $59 a month, you've got a roof, you got running water, you got food. I mean, hell, if you're hungry enough, they'll bring it to your door now. During a pandemic, we don't even have to starve like they did in past pandemics, because if we got hungry, guess what? They figured out how to bring food to our door and just leave it on the doorstep. So we don't have the same dangers anymore. That's why it's very important for you to watch this. So here's you. And here's you now, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to listen to everything my brain thinks. I am ready, Corinne, to change thy life. So here's what happens. You start listening. Then you create another thought bubble of cuss words about this guy. So here's how it works. Here I am listening to these thoughts, and then I'm like, fuck, shit, damn, this is some bullshit. I can't believe it. I'm broken. Like, we go through all of our old shitties, and every one of these thoughts has negative feeling attached to it. These thoughts do. These don't even get a feeling yet. We're just observing them. We haven't even decided if we believe them. We're so busy judging. So then when we have a negative feeling, the next thing that we do is no journaling. Why would I ever want to feel bad about that stuff? Stop listening. Eat more. Bitch to our group and isolate. This is what happens when you sit around and judge your thinking. There's nothing good that's going to happen from this. We're going to listen to our thoughts. This thought bubble cannot be full of bitching, moaning, whining, crying, acting like a titty baby, and a big ass book of lies that it's too hard, it's too shameful. All of that is just thinking. It's another layer. Like, we got to clear this up, this bullshit thinking over here, if we want to even start, like, all right, let's look at these sentences. What's useful? What's not useful? What do I want to do with my life? If I want to do more with my life, if I want to get my goals and stuff, I need to clean up some of this default thinking. I need to get, like, really aware of it. I need to listen to it harder. Like, I want to hear it more often. You will want to hear this thinking more often if you're not sitting around in a crap-ass diaper every time it happens. And that's for you to clean up. You got to tell yourself, like, I know I don't like listening to it, but it's okay. I'm learning that it's not a big fucking deal. The more I don't think it's a big fucking deal, guess what? The more it's not a big fucking deal. So these negative feelings, this is why you will quit journaling. This is why you will give up on 24-hour plans. This is why you will give up on lots of things, is if when things are happening, when you're finding your thinking, when you're finding your eating patterns, when you're finding what's working and what's not, if you don't do some grace and accountability, which is grace is, it's all right, I'm figuring this shit out, and I'm going to do this thing because I just learned this from this mistake. That's grace and accountability. When we do that, we get results. We start moving forward. We start going into the direction of which we want to go. When we do all this bitching and moaning about what we're finding and what we're seeing, we start feeling bad. We start feeling ashamed. We start feeling terrible. We start feeling these things. And then we start giving up on the very things that will help us change our life. When you spend time avoiding feeling bad, you give up stuff that's going to move your life forward. If you notice when you're not following your 24-hour plan that you feel bad about it, the first thing to fix is feeling bad about it, not what you're eating. Because you'll keep trying to tweak what you're eating while talking to yourself like a complete a-hole the whole time. Well, until you get into a good routine and habit, I want you to think about this. If it takes you 3 weeks of trying to figure out enough, and during those 3 weeks, most of the time it's not happening because you're still trying to unwind it. If every single time you talk to yourself like an a-hole,
you drive yourself closer to quit looking for enough so you don't have to feel bad about not being able to find it. Well, guess what? You can't find it if you ain't fucking looking for it. So the solve isn't to give up and be like, this isn't working. Everybody watch out for that excuse. This ain't working. No, that's a lie. If you're looking, it's going to work someday. That's the thought to have. Not to sit around and buy your own bullshit because you talk to yourself like an asshole about, you're never going to get this. You're never going to lose weight. See, you're the only person. I noticed like 10 people in the Facebook group who's already found their enough and you haven't yet, bitch. You got to shut that shit down. Shut it down. That's what we're going to talk about today. We have to understand this in order to even be able to start changing our thoughts. All right. Don't ask me why I'm so riled up today. I'm going to tell you, I'm on my second cup of coffee and was just upstairs telling Chris, like, I don't know how I'm going to get motivated to talk and yell for an hour. Obviously, I can do it real quick. All right. So let's get going. This week, it's all about turning up and down our thinking. So we're going to be looking for the thinking. Now, I want to make sure that all of you do not forget to watch week one of this, because in that one, I talked about the phases of thoughts and habits and how they change. We don't just change overnight. We change in small steps. That's why when I was explaining the last part, that's why it's so important for you to learn how to fucking talk to yourself while you're going through habit and thought changes, because it doesn't just turn, you can't just turn your shit on and off like a faucet. This ain't the kitchen sink and we're just going to turn off our shitty thinking. We got to have to like process, go through it. Let the process evolve as you keep going. So you need to go back to week one and watch it. I did it in the very beginning of week one's video. That's all up on your website, nobswomen.com. Go to Thoughts 2.0 and the weight loss resources and you'll find it. The other thing is we did thought switching last week. So thought switching is where we're just finding old shitty. We're coming up with a new thought. I gave you all kinds of ways to do that. And it's all about, I hear this, now I'm going to think this. Thought switching is just a matter of like, I know this one's not working. I don't believe this one yet, but I know that I need to start telling myself this one. I know that this one over here, it could be true one day. I don't really feel like it. It's going to feel, as I was coaching someone yesterday, it's going to feel probably a little disingenuous. It's going to feel a little stretchy, like a reach, because you're so used to the old one. But what we want to do is we want to hear the old one and we want to switch to the new one. So we talked all about that last week. We even gave you a new thoughts bonus. So if you haven't checked out the website since you downloaded your resource guide, we went through the chat and we took the best thought switches. So we took like an old shitty with a new thought from what everybody was putting in the chat. We curated it for you and we're giving it to you in a bonus. So make sure you download that because that's going to be very helpful. Don't feel like you always have to come up with your own thoughts. Ask. Guys, get into the Facebook group. If you've got an old shitty, it's like, I've got this old shitty. I'm kind of stuck on it. I don't really see an alternate thought. What are some of the things you guys would think if this was yours? Crowdsource ideas. Try them on. Don't just like read, that one won't work. That one won't work. That one won't work. Don't do that to yourself. But like, I'm going to try it. Next time I hear it, I want to try this thought. You try them on. We used to talk about the way that, you know, like have you ever been like jean or shoe shopping? Either one. Pick your little devil. For me, I'm a shoe whore. So we'll talk shoes. You go shoe shopping and there's lots of them that look good. There's only going to be one or two actually feel good. And so with thoughts, it's kind of the same way. You'll see lots of thoughts that will look good or that you want to try on, or that you're not even sure how they're going to look and all this other stuff, but you want to try them on in the moment because eventually what will happen is you'll find a thought that gets comfortable. It's like, ooh, I could see myself walking around in this thought. I could see my, like, you're checking that thought out in the mirror. You're like, ooh, I think I know an outfit that this thought will go with. Same thing is like the shoes. So you want to be trying them on. And then the last thing is make sure that for this week, what we are studying in module 2 is the think, feel, do cycle. Practicing new thoughts. Like, how do you take these new thoughts that we're teaching you how to find? How do you get out in the world and practice them? Feelings 101 and feeling a feeling. I think feelings 101 and feeling a feeling might be two of the most important lessons in all of No BS. That is the stuff you guys do not know how to do. We are not taught that in the world. So it's really important that you do it. And I walk you through the now process in that, in those videos, which is how to notice a feeling, how to notice and name it, how to open yourself up to actually feeling the feeling instead of like running from it and being scared of it and judging it. And then how do you witness a feeling? So witnessing a feeling is where you watch your body and yourself go through the feeling so that you can quit thinking that feelings are happening to you, that you have no power over them. When you really learn how to witness a feeling, I will tell you, it's the most freeing thing. When you learn that skill, it means that you can feel bad. You can sit with it for a few minutes and you can like give yourself some relief without ever having, you don't have to change your thoughts. You don't have to journal. You don't have to do a lot of that stuff if you get really good at witnessing your feelings. All right. So here's the thing I was telling you just a minute ago. There's no off switch for our negative habit thinking. That habit brain is going to be offering up its rando bullshit like it's its job, because it is its job. And we can't just like, oh my God, I found an old shitty. I don't understand why 2 days later, I'm still having it, Corinne. This is not the kitchen sink. This is thought work. We can't turn off our negative thinking. We can't dead stop thoughts. It is very rare that you're ever going to find some kind of negative thought that you have, like, I'm not good enough. I should have never gained weight. All that bullshit that we think, right? I can't lose weight. You just don't know me. I've been fat all my life, Corinne. All those thoughts, we're not going to just like, whoop, we found it. Thank God. Why am I still having it? You've got to get used to dealing with the thinking that you're having. And you got to get used to dealing with your life and the thoughts you have about it. That's the real magic. So the way that one of the best ways I have found when it comes to dealing with some thinking that I think is a super easy tool. So I taught you how to like thought switch, which is like a basic tool. The next one is for all of you who are actually willing to journal, use your 24-hour planner, and find what are the thoughts that are going to get in my way? What are the things that I'm thinking that could, you know, not let me eat on my doable hunger today? When you're doing discovery worksheets like a boss and you start finding repetitive thoughts that get in your way, like for all of you who are doing that, all of you who are doing think, feel, do cycles, the turning up and down of thoughts becomes an amazing tool for you. So, when do we do it? Only after we are someone who does think, feel, do cycles and repeated work. When you notice you have an old shitty that just never seems to go away. Like, I have a couple of old shitties that never seem to go away. I have more than a couple. Let's be real honest. Number one is like thoughts about my legs. Like, you know, I've got old shitties around my body that come up like it's their job. Like, you're supposed to be hard on yourself today. Those things just pop up like without, and it's not for a lack of work. I also notice I have good thoughts that populate, but It has not mattered how much work I've done on my body. It's not mattered how much thought switching I do. It has not mattered how much like I know that my old shitties aren't true, but they just happen. It's just what my brain does. Not good enough is another one. I'm telling you, that is one of the ones. Like anytime I make a mistake, I immediately go to, I'm not doing a good enough job. A lot of times, one of my old shitties is, I'm the only one who can do this. Like, I think that that is a lot of stuff that's come up from when I was a child and I was very responsible from an early age, you know, had a lot of responsibility to help raise my brother. My mother was young. Very often lots of things fell on my shoulders because, you know, mama was out working. You know, if the house was going to get cleaned, if we were going to eat, if things were going to happen, it was Corinne's job. Once I got to high school, if I was going to have any money, I had to go get a job and I had to work really hard. I worked off the clock. I broke every law there was. Let's just put it that way. So I have a thought very often of, you know, I'm the only one who can do this. No one can help me. I have a lot of issues around money. Like I get panicky. Like sometimes I was telling somebody the other day, if I get something for free, the hardest thing for me to throw away in the house is when something's free. Like I will hoard things and keep things because I think, oh my gosh, you can't be wasteful. As if like, you know, poverty's on its way. Like it's a very big sense of anxiety for me. So I work on these thoughts and I've done a lot of work around them. And trust me, there's no one doing more think, feel, do cycles than Corinne. And then ridiculous thoughts like I'm the only one, you know, just things like that. It's like when you realize, like, this is when you're really in the throes of being ready to like, all right, I just need to turn down some thoughts versus finding a bunch of new ones. Cause I've already found a lot of new ones. I've like went through all this work. I know what to think. I even logically know that that's good shit to think. I even believe the new stuff. I can argue for all the reasons why my old shitties aren't true. So that is where, like, when you know you're ready to do more amplifying of other things, it's because it's when you can sit and say, I can argue for the new thoughts, but what's happening is the old ones, they just keep coming up. So like when something goes wrong, when I'm really tired, if it's just been a bad day or something, these thoughts are always the ones that are going to come back and they're going to come back like, here I am. Did you miss me? So some thoughts that might be good examples for you guys is I shouldn't have gained this weight. I don't like how I look. I wish I wasn't overweight as a kid. These are examples of thoughts that could be coming up for you over and over and over again. And that even though, like, I shouldn't have gained weight, even though you can say, I don't even care that I gained the weight. Like, I'm actually losing weight now. So this happens very often when people are successful. It's like they keep losing weight. They keep losing weight. And yet they can't shake this feeling that they like the shame that they gained it. Even though like I watch this happen all the time is like a lot of you will have lost, especially for girls that have lost like 100+ pounds. This happens a lot of times in weight loss surgery girls. And they'll come into NOBS. They'll start being successful. They'll get like 30 or 40 of the pounds off. You would think they'd be excited. You would think they'd be highly motivated. And sometimes they are. But there's this sense of like, yeah, but I know I've lost 40, but I shouldn't have ever regained that weight. And this thought keeps coming back up. When we intellectually know it's not helpful, it's not going to get us where we need to be. And we do have a lot to be proud of. So the reason why I want to make this point is because for those of you who are doing the work, I don't want you thinking that you're broken because your thoughts keep coming back. For some of us, it's just going to take a long time and that's okay. And the way that what I've decided to tell myself is those thoughts may never go away. I will probably pick my body apart for the rest of my life. And that's okay. Because I know how to stop it. I also know how to feel good about it. I also know how to keep my weight off. Like, I have all kinds of other things that I could think instead. And that's where amplifying and turning down of thoughts happens. So I want you to think about, you only turn down thoughts that aren't working for you after you've worked on them. Because turning off an old shitty will not work unless you've got other things that you can equally believe and that you can also equally believe it's just a thought that keeps coming back. A lot of you, what you try to do is turn down thoughts that you really believe about yourself, that you haven't yet done the work on. Like, you just want to ignore that thinking. Well, the problem is that that thought is still underneath there. And if that old shitty is not bubble wrapped in some logic, in some belief that it's just a thought that keeps coming back, that it's a thought that I don't have to be tripped up on. If it's not bubble wrapped in that, then it's sitting beneath the surface being believed and felt. And that's what leads to self-sabotage because it's an unconscious belief. What we want to do is shift those thoughts from being a belief to just being habit thoughts that your brain just wants to offer. All right. So what is the work? The work is where you've journaled to a point to where, like, maybe you've done some work on, so where did this thought even start? So you find an old shitty, a really good way to, so like when you were listening to me talk earlier, when it comes to me feeling very often like no one can help me, like if this is going to be fixed, it's all on my shoulders. I did a lot of work as to why would I ever even believe that? And I wanted to really understand so that I could have compassion for myself that when I think this, it's like, of course you would think this. You know, when you were 5, you were already babysitting your brother alone. When you were, you know, and y'all, please don't, like, I know with this modern day that that's like, but when Corinne was a little kid 40 something years ago, and your mother was making minimum wage in Northern Alabama in a small town, that was not crazy talk. She didn't get any help from the government. Nobody gave her help, not even my daddy. So she didn't have a choice. But then, like, when I was in, like, in high school, and I, like, mama didn't have extra money. You know, if I wanted to do things with my friends, I had to go make money. If I wanted to have new clothes, if I wanted to go on band trips, if I wanted to do things, I had to go make the money. And I knew it. If I wanted to eat lunch, there were days that she didn't even have lunch money for us. And if I wanted to eat other than just dinner, I had to get a job. And I worked all the time. So what I did was I really was like, it is no wonder that when I feel threatened these days, when something isn't going the way that I think it should, I know that I like from a young age, guess who I always could rely on? Me. I internalized at a young age, there was only one person in the world you can rely on, and that is yourself. It's much safer and much easier to do it all yourself than to ever rely on other people. And that didn't come from my mama. That come from being abandoned from my father. Being cheated on in high school. I have like unwound all these instances. It's like, it's no wonder that's my default mode. Because growing up, that's what I learned and that's what gave me safety. So like when you journal, like where did some of these thoughts start? You do it for the compassion. so that when those thoughts come in, you're not just over here like, fuck this shit and I'm so broken and rah, rah, rah. Like, that's how you get out of it. The moment you quit judging it, you start thinking like, well, how did this even start? And you don't do it to blame people or anything. You do it to understand yourself. And it's the best gift you give yourself. Another way is I wrote a lot about why it's not true. I come up, like when my old shitties come up, especially around my body, I do a lot of why it's not true that like my scars will always define me. Like I have all these thoughts around, you know, like right now, the biggest work I'm doing is on my arms. I'm going to be real honest with you guys. I don't know what's happened this last year, but although I still got wicked muscle, it's crepey skin setting in. That's just a thing. And so I'm doing a lot of work on why it's not a big deal, why it's not true. That, I mean, the other day I was like, oh, you can't wear sleeveless anymore. I literally had to journal on why that's not true. But that's valuable work, because if I'm sitting around changing how I dress, feeling shame every time I see my arms, that's a lot of time spent in my brain feeling bad. So yeah, I'm going to do some of those vanity journal prompts. I got too much life to live. So you go and you argue as to why it's not true. And then thought about what you want to think instead. So you've journaled a lot about like when this thought comes up, here are the things I want to believe. Here are the things I want to be thinking. Here are the things I want to think instead. So this is what the work looks like. The work also looks like getting coached. A lot of you need to get coached. If you're feeling stuck in your thought work, guys, please don't sit there and tell yourself that you're never going to be able to do it. You're in the one weight loss place where if you actually want to get help on the very things that are getting in your way, you fucking can do it. Do not go back to Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, and please don't go to Noom, because I don't know if y'all have heard, but some of their coaches that they say they have are telling people to listen to my podcast. Well, I guess that's smart, but still, if that's the best coaches they've got is just go listen to Corinne. You're already here, bitch. So some of you need to get coached, and that's how you do the work. You've got to ask coaches. You've got calls. Listen to them. Guys, when I do a call, listen and think about how does this apply to me? Always have that mindset. Do not be sitting in there thinking somebody's problem doesn't relate to me. I listen to the most random coaching calls all the time and the other memberships that I belong to. And I'm always pulling down ways that it can apply to me, even if I'm not having that problem. Because I allow my brain to stretch to find the help that it needs. I don't shut down and don't listen to things thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me. This doesn't apply to me. You have got to fix that. It's going to be rare that I'm ever going to do a coaching call that does not apply to you. One-on-one. Some of you like are just at a point where maybe you've got something that you're so stuck on in your life that you need to hire one of our one-on-one coaches. That's why we have that service. It's not for everybody, but some of you are like ashamed that you would need a one-on-one coach. Bullshit. I've had my own one-on-one coach for over 3 years. That's the best fucking money I ever spend. In fact, it's so good that one time I went to Chris and was like, I don't really know what I need coaching on anymore. I think I'm good on my own. And he looked at me and he was like, don't you not, this was a year ago. He was like, you stay with her. You've changed so much. He's like, it's like insurance for a bad day. So think about it. Do you need a one-on-one coach? If you do, go to the website, check it out. All of our coaches do one-on-ones. And then the last one is Facebook. Guys, you have a community for a reason. A lot of the girls in here, a lot of y'all know how to coach. We've got life coaches in the membership that don't even work for me. They're just members because they love the No BS stuff. They'd love to help. So post your questions. But you, like, when you're doing your work, don't just journal and think you should be able to figure it out on your own. For the majority of us, we're not going to be able to figure it out on our own. We're going to need a little help. And you got plenty of it here. So what is turning down? Turning down an old shitty thought is like drawing a line in the sand. It says, no more. I've done my work. I know this thought just isn't useful now. We're not getting mad that it's back. We're just like, not helpful. Moving on. That's really what turning down the thought is. A lot of us, what we do is we hear the old shitties and then we get so upset that they're there and we give them a lot of oxygen. We eat over them because we keep arguing with them and stuff. Rather than just being real calm about it and just saying like, it's not useful. I know this thought's going to come back. It's all right. What else do I got to do right now? Like, we just move on with our life. So when the old thought comes up, you want to think, this is something I think. That's just something I'm thinking. This is not useful. This thought doesn't matter. Any of those will work. That's how you start turning the volume down. So I want you to visualize a knob. You hear the old shitty come in. Here he is. And I want you to visualize you just taking your hand and turning the knob down like it's a radio dial. That's all we're doing is we're turning the knob down on an old shitty that we've already done work on, that we know is not useful, that we can prove other things that are true. And we're just like, I've done my work on this thought. It's just coming back. I just need to quit giving it so much oxygen. The next thing is you want to turn up and amplify another thought. So it can be new thinking. Just like, I know that thought comes up all the time, but we're going to think this instead. And we're going to just get our focus like, and I believe it because of these reasons. So it could be new thinking. It could be a better topic. A lot of times, like if I'm like getting ham on my body, I'm just like, it's a no. We're not going to sit around and judge ourselves. And I think about a better topic. I think about like the amazing things I get to do for the day. I'll think about like a vacation I've got coming up. I'll think about 1,000 other things that I enjoy. And I'm like, I could probably spend more time thinking about this. This is not so much worth it. These other things are a much better use of my mind time. Gratitude. A lot of times, guys, if you're thinking some bullshit, start thinking about what you are grateful for. I don't think most of us spend near enough time thinking about things that we're grateful for, like really delighting. And like for me, one of the things I've been doing a lot of is spending intentional time. I probably spend up to 30 minutes a day now in small segments of just whenever I think about Chris, I think about the things I love most about him. I think about how grateful I am for him. I think about we're just an amazing couple. And let me just tell you, we have our fair share of shit. I just amplify the good. I want the good to always outweigh the shit. So the shit's never a big deal. And the only thing that's ever a big deal is something that's truly important that we do need to have a conversation over. But if everything's a problem, then nothing's a problem. Future focus. You can always turn your brain to the future too. You know, a lot of times when you guys are like, oh my God, you know, what if I never lose weight? Start thinking about, but what if I do? What's the beautiful things that are going to happen for me? What are the great lessons I'm going to learn? What's my life going to be like? What could my life look like tomorrow if today I just stay focused on setting up tomorrow to be amazing? Like even just amplifying that kind of thinking is helpful. The other thing that you can do is borrow belief. Sometimes what you need to do is you just look at stories from members that we have. and think, if she can do it, so can I. If she can think that, I probably could too. Go to our success page. When your brain is wanting to not believe you can lose weight, go to NoBS.com, NoBSWomen.com. We have a success page now. Stories of women like you who are losing weight, making changes. Go check it out. Like, read those things over. Start looking for people in the Facebook group who's like you and who've made a shift. Just say like, hey, here's where I'm at right now. I'm really working on believing this is possible. I would love to know your story. If you're like me and you lost weight, tell me your story. Don't sit there and tell them I'm hopeless. Don't go in there like a sob story. Go in there like somebody who literally wants to believe. I want to hear it because I'm ready to believe. And make sure you put that in there. Most of the time I watch you guys ask for that help and you do it in such a douchey way to yourself. It's like, I'm sitting here on the verge of quitting. I don't know if this is going to work. Here's my sob story. Anybody else feel like me? That is the worst way to ask for help. Like, I want you to think about what you're doing. I feel like shit. I'm giving up on myself. I want to quit. Who else feels this way? Where the fuck is your help in that? You have now called all these other people out who are feeling hopeless. It's like, let's commiserate. I feel really bad. I'd love to drag you into the pit of despair with me. Want to like kumbaya about that bullshit? Y'all ain't getting nowhere on that stuff. Do not start a Me Too movement inside of No BS unless your Me Too movement is going to be one of my fucking life's changing. Here's how it's going to happen. Share with me your movement. A shit does not work for you. Do you know how you ball up in there? You say, here's my situation. I'm ready to believe. I know someone out there must have felt like me at one point, and I would love to know your story so that I can follow in your fucking footsteps. That's how somebody who's determined to lose weight asks the question. Same person. You both might be struggling, but one person is going to get a thread full of people encouraging them, helping them. Other people like you are going to read it and be like, oh my God, I relate. I relate. I relate. That's the Me Too movement we want to have. The other person is going to get a bunch of people all trying to decide if now's the time to quit. If they should give up on themselves, talking about their shitty past and how that's good evidence, it's going to become a pissing contest of whose life sucks the most. And then you're going to have some people who come in there and try to throw you a lifeline. And this is what kills me. Some of you will start that thread and you will have women come in there who are ready to help you and give you advice. And you will argue with them as to why that won't work. Don't any of you ever do that. If somebody is willing to tell you in your lowest moment some hope, some tips, and some tactics, you do not shut the door on that for your own sake. You say thank you and you take a note and you go get over your bullshit that's telling you that you can't do it. Don't argue with them on why you can't. All you're doing is digging your heels in on your old shitty thinking. We don't need to keep proving old shitty true. That's not the goal of thought work. And you got to be real aware of when you're doing it. The reason why I highlight this shit so that you're like, oh my God, I'm the one that like made the I'm going to quit post, or oh my God, I'm the one that was thinking about doing that. Good. We want to amplify the shitty stuff that you're doing to yourself so that you can be like, ooh, I need to watch for that. So the next time I post, like Corinne said, so the next time I tell myself, it's a better way to ask for help. So I can tell myself, I don't go out quitting like I always have. If you're going to go, if you're going to leave no BS, I want you to go out in a blaze of glory, meaning I tried everything. I asked the questions. I listened to videos. I did all the shit Corinne said. You do all that, it's not working, you email me. Most of y'all won't do that. And I'm only talking to people who want to leave. Most people leave without trying. They dabble. What is the harm in going all in on yourself? The worst that will happen, like I want all of you to think about this. The worst thing that could happen for all of you, if you do the thought work like I tell you, if y'all just start doing shit that I tell you to do, the worst that will happen is it might not work. But I can promise you, not doing shit won't work. Quitting won't work either. They 100% won't work. You do the shit I tell you, it probably will. But if it doesn't work for you, you haven't lost anything. But at least you've taught yourself to go all in and give it 110%. You at least get the benefit of that. So I want you to remember that your new thinking creates new actions that are going to get your goals. The only way that we're going to get our goals is through new actions. And the only way new actions ever happen consistently and long term is when our thinking changes. You, all of you have lost weight before probably at some point and done some wild ass diet that did not work because you knew the actions to take. You tried really hard, but your busted thinking is what ended up getting you either not all the way there, getting the weight back, or quitting before it was over. It's always the thinking. So on page 37 of your book, you have got where you're going to find two useless thoughts and two new things to amplify. I want you to do that worksheet, and I would love for all of you to post and talk about it in the Facebook group. Anybody that does the worksheets, I want to know. I want to see you posting this stuff in the Facebook group. I want to see you discussing it. I want to see you using it. If you're in a subgroup, take your work to your subgroups. I know for a lot of you, like if you've got 100 pounds to lose, if you're LGBTQ, if you're women of color, if you're 55 plus, the single ladies, for a lot of you, you want to talk to people who are like you. This is a great exercise to go to your subgroup and discuss. Like, here's two of my useless thoughts. Here's the things I want to start amplifying. And y'all crowdsource lots of this stuff. That's why we have all these groups for you guys. And the last thing I want you to do is I want you to start anticipating when these old shitties are going to come up. This is the magic sauce to changing your thinking. You anticipate old shitty. Like, when does it normally happen? Where do these old shitties typically happen? For me, like where? In the mirror. When? If I'm going to be in front of a lot of people in a really tiny bikini, trust me, it takes a, like I have to like amplify a lot of the things I want to think about myself. And then like, who are you with? There might be certain people that trigger some old shitties for you. Who are they? Start finding where these patterns happen. Don't change the when, don't change the where, and don't change the who. Get aware that the old shitties are going to come and know what you're going to say to yourself when they happen and create that new thought plan. All right. If y'all have any questions, you can put it in the Q&A. I've got a few minutes left for questions. Well, I'll answer those and then we will get out of here, guys. So I'll give y'all a minute to type. There's no questions so far, which means I must have done a baller job on explaining this concept. I hope I did, honestly, because I really want you guys to like, the thought work is everything. That is what changed everything for me and what's changed my life. And I want that for you. What do I do when the feelings lead the thoughts, trauma triggers that are felt in the body, and I barely know what the thoughts are? There are a million negative thoughts that I could attach to the feeling, but it's the feeling that I'm eating over. And my thought is that they are feeling too strong. That's the first thought that you got to work on is these feelings are too strong to witness right now. I want you to argue with yourself as to how that's not true. So far, Julie, you've gotten through every one of them because you're here. So they're not too strong to feel. It doesn't matter if you've ate over them. It matters, are you going to keep telling yourself the feelings are too strong to witness right now? We have to start telling ourselves, I can learn how to witness feelings. And then go and do that. Like, I would literally just create a shortcut on your damn phone to that lesson inside of No BS, where I walk you through the process. And when you are triggered with a trauma feeling, go through the now process each time. Teach yourself that you can. One of the things that you can do is a lot of times with there's a bajillion thoughts. There really isn't. Like, maybe even telling yourself there's probably only 50. Because you said there are a million negative thoughts that I could attach to the feeling. I would just start with, there might be 50. I want you to think about it, just taking the temperature down on some of the language is a really good way to start. And you could also say, I only need to find one thought today. So witness the feeling first and then say, I only need to find one of them today. Let's just work on the one. Because here's the thing when it comes to thoughts, guys. Thoughts are like a big thing of dominoes. Let's imagine we had dominoes lined up. Or we have the Jenga tower. I actually have one. Hang on a second. I've always wanted to use this Jenga tower. I forget I have it. Let's hope I don't spill it. All right. So thoughts are like a Jenga tower, the negative ones, like our busted thoughts, right? So we have let me try to turn this down. So we have the Jenga tower here. And so let's use Julie's example of trauma thoughts. And let's say every one of these represents a trauma thought that she's having that's triggering these feelings. She's going to work on them one at a time. So she's going to be pulling out thoughts all over the Jenga tower. I would do this, but I'm going to crash it. So as she works thoughts and starts, I get really good at hearing this one, and I really do believe that this one's not real anymore. It just keeps coming back. All right. So as long as we don't believe a thought is real, as long as we don't judge that it keeps coming back, it's just now a sentence. It's gone from a belief to just a sentence that appears, and it ends up not being a big deal. So we can pull out that little Jenga square, we can pull it out and set it aside. All right. That's one that I don't believe anymore. It just happens. We keep doing that with these trauma thoughts and stuff. Eventually what happens is you don't need to solve all 1 million and you don't need to solve all 50 of them. Every single time you pull one of these out, the next one becomes easier to pull out, because once you've created evidence that a very strong and powerful belief is now just a sentence, it's a lot easier on thought number two to do it again. And thought number three becomes easier. Eventually what happens is it's like dominoes are just falling over. Same thing with the Jenga tower. The more you pull out, whatever the belief system you have that all of these thoughts are supporting, the trauma shouldn't have happened or whatever, is going on, or it's too much for me. Eventually what happens is you pull those thoughts, the whole belief system comes crashing down and you start believing something new about you. how can I rework the thought this isn't working when the scale remains the same number? Well, it's not even true. Like, this isn't working. So first get specific. Go to like, here are the things that I'm doing and here are the things I need to work on. Because if the scale's not moving, that doesn't mean this isn't working. It means I probably have something that I need to work on. What is it? The vast majority of the time, I promise all of you, when y'all tell me this isn't working, listen to, so I did a Queen's Club call on June 15th. Listen to the second caller who's been stalled for a long time. We went through again. She's still stalled, but this is the problem. A lot of times you guys will do the four basics, but you'll say like, yeah, but I'm tracking and I'm following my plan like 70% of the time. I'm stopping at enough 60% of the time. And y'all see, it's not working because the scale's not moving. Truth. I would like the scale to move and be able to eat whatever I want 30% of the time and 40% of the time overeat. I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. When we say it like that, it makes a lot of sense why things are not working. So it's not that this isn't working. It's there's things to work on. Like, I'm doing really good over here, and over here is where all the opportunity lies. So it's like looking at our data in a very delicious way. What is our data really telling us? Our brain is telling us this isn't working. What are the numbers saying? Are the numbers saying that like yesterday when I was coaching, you know, one of the reasons why that she was not losing some weight was because like, even though she was not eating lots and lots of food and stuff, she was switching her plan all the time. And she was switching her plan and wanted to add in a sweet or like just a little here and there, a little grab assy, nothing major. But the problem was, is that when you ignore, like when you say like, well, these changes are healthy or these shouldn't matter or blah, 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 blah. It does matter. Because when we dug in, one of the reasons why she was switching is because she had a fear of missing out around food. It's like, well, I don't want to miss out when somebody brings something. It's like, okay, well, it's hard to lose weight with the fear of missing out. What if we just decide to do this? Enjoy life beyond a slice of cherry pie. What are you really missing out on? You can't just sit there. We got to retrain our brain to not sit with our family and only focus on pie. You have to teach your brain that there's more to life than pie. Next lesson, that's the next 30 pounds. The first 30 pounds came off being able to switch. And now the emotional eating's caught up. And that's what a lot of times you guys miss out on when you just get stuck in the thought that this isn't working. All right, let's do one more. So a lot of these questions, guys, we've got some exercise questions, things like that. Take all of that over to the Facebook group. If you're an exerciser, I would go to the Fit Exercisers. I would post all of those questions over there. There are plenty of athletes that are in that group who can help you. How do you ever get to the place where you could list something you liked about yourself? On my journal page every day, I have a hard time listing something I like about myself. You challenge yourself every day. I know that sounds crazy, but if you don't challenge yourself every day to figure out something that you like about yourself, you'll never find it. You still have to challenge yourself. What about your eyelashes, your teeth, your earlobes? Like, guys, it gets to start as small as that. I'm serious. It's not about like, you can't like, because a lot of you will want to say like, well, I don't want to just list my earlobes. It's not a like, because you'll say like, well, that's not important. It's like, it is important. You're teaching your brain to stop obsessing over what's wrong and start finding something that's right. it's not so much what you pick. It's that, are you willing to challenge yourself to do it? Are you willing to debunk the belief in your brain there's nothing you like about you? And the only way to debunk it is you've got to look hard. Sometimes for some of you, you can use the exercise of if you have friends or you have people that love you, what would they like about you? It doesn't even have to be about your body. Be your sense of humor. I mean, for some of you, it can even be your people pleasing. Like, I'm there for everyone. Like, some people call it people pleasing. I call it being like, I'm really good at prioritizing other people. I just want to get good at prioritizing me also. We get to think anything we want about ourselves, guys. Like, literally, it is the gift of choice. Chris calls it the tyranny of choice. Most people can't handle lots of choices because they just won't make a decision. They're too busy worrying they're going to make the wrong one and stuff. And he calls it the tyranny of choice. Very often we have that when it comes to ourselves. We have so much opportunity to like ourselves and we don't choose it because we don't think we're deserving unless it's all perfect. You can be imperfect and perfect at the same time. You can be working on yourself and like a lot about yourself at the same time. That is the best way to even lose weight, is to know the things you love about yourself and to change simply because you want to, not because you have to, not because you hate yourself. But just because, like, I want to learn these things. I want to see what I'm made of. I want to take what's already right about me and use those special skills to do this too. And you get to do that. We don't have to hate ourselves through the process of change. All right. You guys have a good one. Do not forget that today is Deep Dive Wednesday, which means that tonight there will also be a coaching call that will start. It's a co-journaling call. It starts at 5 p.m. Central Time, where you're going to come live and the coaches are going to help you work through journaling live. Nobody will be able to hear you, but you will have cameras on if you want. You can turn your camera off, but they're going to walk you through, and they're just rapid fire taking people through how to find the facts of their story, how to find the thoughts. Where tonight, the emphasis will be on figuring out how to amplify, like turning up and turning down the volume of old shitties. So please come to the co-journaling sessions. They're awesome. They're brand new, and we're testing them out this month to see if you guys love them. If you do love them, make sure you let us know in the Facebook group so that we can, like, you know, that's a good way for us to know what's working for you guys, is when you talk about what's working. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.